Lord, once again, we thank you for a beautiful day, Lord, though it's cool. Lord, we thank you for health and strength, for the warmth of your spirit, Lord. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for this day that you've given us and this opportunity to come together and feed upon your word. We thank you for every day, Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here and ask you to bless those that are not able. Lord, we're happy to have Sister Esther's family, Lord. May you bless them, Lord, as they come to make their home here with her. Lord, we commit all things to you now. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now we are happy to be here, and we're happy to have each one. And now we're going to ask Sister Esther if she's going to introduce us to the family this morning. Or they can stand and greet us, give us their name. This is the Kenyan way, right? Yeah. And so we'll let you come. And they're welcome to come on this side if they want to sit in here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So God bless you.
Amen.
I'm happy to be back in the service. I miss it a lot, but I'm also blessed on the other side.
Did you hold that?
So I came with my family. The one at the end, she's Esther. She's named after me.
Amen.
And in the middle is Hannah. She's my daughter. And the last one is Lydia. These are both
Lydia.
Lydia. Lydia.
Amen.
Yes. She's Lydia Wajiko, Esther Warukira, Hannah Ndinda.
Amen.
So we appreciate you. Your prayers.
Amen.
So Sharon is not with me. She went to rally, but I guess next time she's going to be here.
Amen.
Praise
yes.
the Lord.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you and most welcome.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank the Lord so much to have the sisters.
Amen.
And Mom has been waiting for you a long time. Amen. So God has answered her prayer. And in many prayers here, the people have been praying also. But I know it's a great blessing for Mom. And so we are missing Sharon today. We're hoping, will she be able to come for the Easter? Praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to that. Now, Easter's on us now. Wednesday will be beginning in the service over here at the Buffalo Shoals Clubhouse. And so we're looking forward to that, and we want you to really spend some time in prayer and be praying for those services. Pray for each minister that God would just speak every night and every heart would just be together. And that's what we want. We know that God is more than able to give us just what we have need of, and we're a needy people. Every day we have needs, and all of our needs are in this message.
Yes,
all of our life is in this message. The answer to every question, the answer to every need, everything is in this message. And so God has given us all things, and we thank him and praise him for that. And so we just want to surrender to him, and that he might have his way. And so we want to also encourage you to come early and be praying for the service and just prepare your heart each day that God will speak to you something special.
Amen.
All right. So now this morning we want to get into the message. And of course we didn't finish on Wednesday, but I've been wanting to get to this last part where in the scriptures, the scripture tells us, let us create man in our own image. And so Brother Branham told us, he asked the question, but he told us. He said, let us, he says, who? Who is us? Who is us? And he answers the question. And so I just, since we've been talking about the Godhead for some time now, I wanted to get that part of it. And it's such a big subject. You think it's in such simplicity and such, you think there's not much there, but there's so much there. He was talking about it constantly. And he really spent a lot of time before the seals. But then after the seals, a lot of times you wouldn't realize he didn't take the subject, but he was dropping it in all the time. He was dropping in those comments and identifying the same thing. And so I want to start this morning in the message of Revelations chapter 1. And certainly I won't get it all said this morning, but we'll pick it up again and try to finish it in two or three services after the meetings. But I've enjoyed this because it's refreshed me on a lot of things that Brother Branham has said. And it certainly lets us see that the Godhead is a revelation. It's not something you're just going to read it and you're going to get it. It's going to take God to reveal it to you so that you know what it is. And Brother Branham said, it's a must. We must have it. We must understand it. And so let us read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now, 21 chapters later, this is the conclusion. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. And I beheld, and this is in Revelation chapter 22, this is the last book of Revelations. And I behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Amen. So the Lord bless the reading, the scriptures. And now the scripture of our day, this is in the Patmos vision. This is in the original Church Ages book I'm taking this from. It's in 1960, not the Church Ages, the expedition of the Church Ages, which was brought by the prophet later on as he edited and brought up to date these messages when he preached the original Church Ages. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and now we hear it. Now what? Now what was he doing? He was transferred from the aisle now in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's day, he heard a trumpet. What is it? It's somebody approaching. A great one's approaching. Trumpet sounds. Somebody's coming. He looked. Hallelujah. Amen. A trumpet. Saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. See? not announcement of the second party or the third party, but the only party.
Amen.
And that's the revelation.
Yes, sir.
I am both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. And that's what he was doing. He did it at the beginning of the book of Revelations, and he brought it down to the end of the book of Revelations. He said, it's done now. And he said, I am the same one. I'm the Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
See? The greatest of all the revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base until you believe that. Brother Branham said that is the greatest of all revelations is in knowing who he is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it goes right with the fact that Brother Branham said we must have that relationship. We must have that relationship because that's the reason he said in that day he'll say, I never knew you.
Right.
And you know he knows all. He knows everyone. He knows everything. He knows every creation because he's the one who allowed it.
Amen.
So he knows him. It's not that he's not aware. It's that he didn't have a relationship with them. They didn't have the revelation of who he was.
Amen.
And that revelation brings you into the relationship. It allows you to know who he is and to become one with him. The greatest of all the revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't get to first base until you believe that.
Amen.
Now, I tried to explain that. If you don't know the game of baseball, it's an American game. And so I tried to explain it overseas one time, and it could take too much time to get it across. But the simplicity of it is a man stands at one base, a home base, and they throw the ball at him. He hits the ball, and there's a lot of men out there trying to catch the ball. And then he's got to run four bases to get back where he's at. So he'll first base, second base, third base, and then he comes to home base. And so he's saying you can't even get to the first base.
Yes, sir.
Saying the only way you get a point is if you come all the way back to home. And so he's saying you can't even get to first base if you don't know who he is. And this is what's wrong today. This is what was wrong in the church ages. This is what was wrong in to the people in Jesus' day, in John the Baptist's day, in all the Old Testament. They didn't know who he was. Even before he had revealed himself in that manner, before he revealed himself as the Son of God, they didn't have the revelation of who he was. He was revealing himself all the time. All the time, he was opening himself up to be made known to the people. He was trying to get them to see who he was. See, that's what Peter said. Repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you're ready to go in the Spirit. See, the first thing you have to know is the deity of Jesus Christ. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the A to the Z. There's no more but me. I was the beginning, I'll be at the end. I'm he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty, think of it. That's what the trumpet said. That's what the trumpet said. See? Brother Branham said, be careful, John. You've entered into the Spirit, and something's going to be revealed to you. What is it? A trumpet sound. The first thing, I'm Alpha and Omega. The first of all revelations, this is it. The first of all revelations is who he is. Who he is. What was he doing from Genesis to Revelation? Brother Branham said it was Elohim materializing. It was Elohim making himself known. It was Elohim back there that was hidden in those different forms, and those different masks, and those different veils that he come. When he come in the pillar of fire, it represented God. God was hidden there. When he come in Moses, God was hidden there. God was revealing himself, trying to make himself known. He was revealing his characteristics, his nature, his life, his attributes, all that he was, all the time. That was unfolding. That was unfolding out to the people. God in Morphin, making himself known, that they could see God and they could know God. And he made it where in every age there was a people on the earth that he revealed to that group of people the form that he was in, the veil that he was hiding behind. And they for you, because you have that revelation, because that veil has been taken off, you can recognize him anywhere in any form.
Yes, sir.
Because you recognize the Word. And that's who he is. He's the Word. And when you can see the Word living, you know then it's not that person. It's not that person. It's not that person. Then you know that that's him. Just as you would have known it in Moses' day. You would have known it in Noah's day. You would have known it in Jesus' day, in John the Baptist's day. Because you know his nature. You know what he does.
Amen.
That was when on the road to Emmaus, when they couldn't, they were blinded, they were hidden. He was hidden to them. But what was it? He did something. At the end of the day, he did something that made them recognize that had to be him.
Yes.
That was him.
Yep.
They knew by something that he did.
Amen.
And we're knowing too by his actions, by his life, by the things, the way that he's revealing himself. We know, we recognize it. We can see it. We know that it's him. And that's the reason why people come and they come with stories about how God is telling them this and telling them that and revealing this, and God showed him this and God showed him that. You're like Brother Branham said, there was a man came to him one time and said, Brother Branham, God showed me a vision. And he said, in this vision, he said, I was asleep, and said, in this vision, such and such. Brother Branham said, automatically I knew. He didn't have a vision. He didn't even know what a vision is. See? That's the difference.
Yes, sir.
That's what you know now that many didn't know, even back through the ages, through the time.
Yes,
you know things now. You know to recognize. Why? Because you're basing it on the Word of God.
Amen.
Someone comes and says they had a vision and they were asleep. No, that's a dream.
Yes, sir.
A dream is when you're sleeping. A vision is when you're wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
And your subconscious and your conscience is so close together that you're seeing the thing while you're wide awake.
Yep.
That's the difference. And so many things in the Scripture, in the revelation, that you understand. And that's why Satan can't deceive you.
Amen.
Because you know him in the power of his resurrection. You know him by revelation.
Right.
And because what's coming this day. So it was in a smaller part all the way through. Brother Branham said the same thing. He said, I think it was Luther, I think, said that that Satan came to him one night. I think that's right. And so he told him, he said, Luther, I'm your Lord and Savior. And he said, I want you to worship me. And so Luther looked at him and he thought, you know, here's this shining light. This anybody would think, okay, this is God. And so he's thinking about it and he's looking at him and he noticed that he has a crown. He has a crown on him. And think now, in an age when they only had a little bit of revelation. They only had a little bit of revelation. Brother Branham said that Luther preached a Trinitarian doctrine. He didn't even have the revelation of the Godhead.
Yep.
But he had as much as God allowed in that day.
Yes,
and that was all he had to have. It was just what God. But he had some more revelation. And that revelation was, it came to him that the saints would crown him
yes,
in that day.
Yes,
and he said, get behind me, Satan.
Yep.
What did he do? He went to the Word.
Amen.
He went right to the Word. He identified by the Scripture whether this was God or not.
Yes,
and that's what you're doing. You do it every day, and most of the time you do it subconsciously. You don't even think about it.
Amen.
Every time you talk to somebody, you're thinking, you're comparing the Word. You're comparing the Spirit. You're comparing the nature. You're doing it. Why? Because that's what's in you.
Amen.
He's in you.
Yes.
Who is he? He's the teacher.
That's
what he said he was giving you. That's the beauty of it. He said the teacher will be with you and even in you, and he will lead you and guide you in all truth.
That's right.
That's a powerful thing to think.
Yes,
that God himself is inside of you, teaching you all this revelation, all that he promised for your day, for this day. And this is the greatest.
Amen.
He was doing the same thing.
throughout the ages. They just didn't have as much, a greater portion of the revelation and of the Spirit that we have today.
Right.
Today it has come in the fullness.
Right.
That's why that you have the full understanding of the Godhead today.
Amen.
You know exactly who He is and how that He was to manifest Himself. And how that Brother Branham took us back billions and billions and billions of years. He took us back there. And He said he put us on a banister. And He said we were looking over the banister, looking into eternity.
Yes,
looking into the mind of God. And seeing the attributes of God come out of God and begin to manifest. And begin to be put before us.
Amen.
You were able to see that. We were taken on the other side and seen those people there in their theophany, those people living there waiting.
Amen.
Just under that dimension of God. They were there and He talked to them.
Yes,
and they spoke to them.
Amen.
He spoke to them. And I was reading some of that the other day and I was thinking, and as He was thinking things, the man that He was talking to was answering the question. And I thought, there it is right there. It's always that way. The Word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of heart. Brother Branham's saying, are all of these Branham? And this man that he's talking to is answering every question that he's thinking, everything that he's thinking. Some of it he asked, but some of it, as he was thinking it, this person is speaking it. And that's God. That's just God. 147. All right. The first of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. You must know who He is when you hear the voice. All right. The same voice that sounded on Mount Sinai. The same voice that sounded on Mount Transfiguration. The same one like the Son of Man. And you know, in Jesus' day, they had so many ideas. They had so many ideas, and Jesus knew it until He asked them the question. He said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they started rattling off all of these different assumptions of who He was. They had many ideas and of some other prophet, except for the prophet that He was. Except for the revelation of who He was, the people had Him as John the Baptist resurrected, as Jeremiah, as Elijah, as many the other prophets, many others, they said. But none of them had the revelation in the present tense. They were putting Him back there somewhere. Brother Andrew said, that's what man always does. He always goes back or he goes past. That's exactly what they're doing with the revelation today. And as they had many ideas in that day, they have many ideas today. They have many ideas today on the Godhead. Brother Branham said they have a oneness, they have a two-ness, they have a three-ness, a trinity. They have all these ideas. And he showed us how they're each one wrong, how each one of them is wrong. And he said there's a place in the middle. There's a place in the middle. And it has to be revealed. Lord, show us the Father. 95. When He was on earth, He said He was God. He looked like God. He talked like God. He preached like God. Hallelujah. He healed like God. He rose like God. He ascended like God. Hallelujah. He was God. Hallelujah. He was God in the flesh. See? God was in His Son, manifesting Himself to His people. That's right. And He was... Brother Rand preached a message called the Identified Christ of All Ages. The Identified Christ of All Ages.
Amen.
Brother Rand said that Christ is the Anointed One. The Anointed One in all ages. In every age, He was revealing Himself. The anointing. The presence of God. And Brother Rand said He does it the same in every age. He said He reveals Himself to one. And He hides Himself to the others. He makes Himself known. He hides Himself. God hiding in simplicity and revealing Himself in the same simplicity. 96. Now, my parents, both before me, were Catholic. But brother, you see, there's not much Catholic left in me as the triune being. See, that's right. Yes, sir. They believed in the eternal sonship. Or there's three actual individual beings. That's what the Catholics believe. You hear many different, what's the word I'm looking for? You hear many variations of the Trinity doctrine. And so many of them, because it's been said over and over and explained away and this, that, and the other. And so a lot of them, they're not even sure what the actual Trinity doctrine says. But they just know that there's three. And that's where they end it there. And so they'll say at the end, well, he's one. After they say he's three. And Brother Branham said, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. He said, you can't be three individual, three different people and be the same person. You can't be three personalities and be one personality. And so Brother Branham said, then you go to the two-ness. And then he said, you go to the oneness. And the oneness is you, and that's the one that really struck me when I first seen years ago. It's the one that really throwed me off. Because when I became a Christian, I was oneness. And I thought everyone was oneness. I thought that's what everyone was supposed to be, was oneness. And so there's one God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, he said, God is not one like your finger. Well, I always thought he was one like my finger. But the difference was, Brother Branham said, if he's one like your finger, he said, then Jesus was his own father. And he said, that's not according to the Bible. The Bible says that God was his father. And that's why Paul said over and over and over again, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he understood the difference between the Father and the Son. He understood the difference between the Elohim, the eternal spirit, and the flesh man, Jesus Christ. He was a man. He was flesh and blood. And so Elohim was deity. Jesus was a man. And that deity was in that man. Brother Branham said the flesh wasn't deity. It was flesh and blood. He was deity in that he could be worshipped. He was deity in that the fullness of a Godhead was in him. But in flesh, the flesh itself was flesh and blood. And he talks, and we may have spent a little bit of time on it, and maybe I should have spent more time on it. I might have a little bit here this morning. But he's talking about the blood of God. He said it was the blood of God. It wasn't the blood of man. It wasn't any sensation there. There was no sex act there. And it was absolutely the blood of God. Because it was the created blood of God. It was created. It was spoken into existence. God spoke a seed and God spoke an egg. And it brought forth the Son of God. That's what it brought forth. That flesh was the Son of God because God spoke it into existence. God created that. Amen. And he brought it forth. And it did not come by any instrumentality of man or woman in any way. But yet he had a mother because she was the womb that the seed and the egg was put into. Amen. And she took in the food that produced that body. But the seed and the egg was put there by God. It was put there by God. See, now they believed in eternal sonship. God the Father, an old man with a long white beard. God the Son, a middle-aged man. And the Holy Ghost was like a mascot boy. See, there's no such things. There's only one God. I different agree with the organization of Pentecost that calls oneness like your finger is one. See, that's wrong. Absolutely, it's wrong. Jesus couldn't have been his own father. And if God is a man, then Jesus was born sexual desire. See, and not virgin birth. Are you getting this point? God's not a man. God is a spirit. The Father is the eternal spirit. So when he's creating the Son, it's not like human beings having a child. It's not that way at all. There's a difference. There's a difference. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. You can't see God, but you can see Jesus. See? So no man has seen God, but the only begotten of God. He is the expressed image of God himself. He's the expressed image. You couldn't see God. That was his whole purpose. That was his whole purpose from the beginning, is in the beginning was the Word. He began to express those attributes, those thoughts that was in his mind. He began to express that. And the first thing that came out was the Logos, which was the Word, which was the Son of God, which was billions of years before Jesus was born. See, that was the Son of God. That was God in theophany form. God expressing himself. God coming down and bringing himself down into flesh, which would be in Jesus Christ billions of years later. And we see where we are today. We see now the revelation of it is made known. All right. Jesus couldn't have been his own father. See, if God is a man, then Jesus was born sexual desire and not virgin birth. And that settles the whole thing, you see. If he's one like your finger, then what? Then he was his own daddy, see. How could he have been that? That's wrong. He had a father, Jesus had. And Brother Branham said that Melchizedek was in theophany, said Melchizedek became Jesus Christ, right? He became Jesus Christ. So, and he said, what was the difference between Melchizedek and Jesus? Said Melchizedek had no father or mother. He said Jesus had both a father and a mother. Who was his father? God. Who was his mother? Mary. Not in relationship, but in that she was the womb. She was the incubator. That took him. So Melchizedek had no father and mother. Jesus had both a father and a mother. Melchizedek had no time that he began and no ending of time. Jesus had both a beginning and an ending. He had a day he was born. He had a day that he died. Melchizedek didn't. So there was a difference. There was a difference there. And Brother Branham, he made it clear that this man was the temple of God. This man was the creation of God. He was a man that could die. God couldn't die. That's what he said about Melchizedek. He said Jesus died. He said Melchizedek couldn't die because he was life. He was life. So he couldn't die. Paragraph 97. You just can't see the manifestation of God unfolding himself, a loving father. Coming right down from the heavens, unfolding himself, coming down to live among human beings here on the earth. See, there you are. God was in his Son. And now I've unfolded to you also, God is in his people. Do you believe that? Then when God, the same God that lived back yonder in the days, Moses seen the pillar of fire. Is that right? How many believes that was the angel of the covenant? Amen. See? Well, the angel of the covenant was Jesus Christ. Huh? All the way back in 53. All the way back in 53. So he was saying it way back there. Why was Paul, let's see. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. And so when you read the New Testament and you read Paul and John and different ones, how they speak freely of the Father and of the Son. And each one, what each one does, and bringing greetings from both, and the God and Father, and many different things. And Paul saying, I greet you in the name of the Father and the Son. Different ways that he said it. Different ways he said it. And so how could they do it? They had a revelation. All the time, declaring it was the same God, that it was one God, that it was the eternal spirit manifested in a fleshly body.
Amen.
So all it was, he was the temple. 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So those that aren't in the Word, they don't have the Father or the Son. And those that are in the Word, that have the revelation, they have both the Father and they have the Son. They have the Spirit and they have the Word. And the Father is the Spirit and the Son is the Word. You can't have a relationship. You can't have this relationship without this revelation. You can't have it. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever will confess me, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. It's good, isn't it? In the message of Easter Seal, this is in 1965, so we're coming from way back to coming up to the last days of the revelation. Now we notice it's the same Spirit that raised him from the grave that is dwelling in us. Now how could that be? The Spirit that raised up God, Jesus, from the dead is dwelling in us, it is dwelling in us. Now is the Spirit that quickens. Now it is the Spirit that quickens. It is not the Word that quickens. It is the Spirit that quickens.
Yes, sir.
It is not the Word that quickens. That's the difference.
Yes, sir.
That's the reason Jesus said over and over and over again, I can do nothing but what my Father shows me. I can't do it.
Amen.
I don't do anything until he shows me. Who is he? The Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The eternal Spirit that nobody can see. But he gives me the vision. He speaks to me. And then I do it. I am moved by the Spirit.
Amen.
He was the Word. He was the Logos that came out of God. He was different than us in that he was in his theophany, the Word. And in that, you can know all things. In that, you can know all things. He said, that's why we haven't gone there yet. We haven't been there. We've never knew all things.
Amen.
He said, but when this tabernacle is dissolved, then we'll go to that body. But that's the state that he was in when he, as Melchizedek. That's what he was before the foundation of the world when there was nothing else but the Father and the Son.
Amen.
It is the Spirit that quickens. It's not the Word that quickens. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word or gives the Word life. See? Gives it wings to fly. Gives it access. It's the Spirit that does that, see? And the wheat alone, it's just a wheat. But when the quickening life gets into it, see, in the wheat, then it gives it life. And we which were once dead, made in the image of God, and yet dead in sin and trespasses, there's some way God had to get this quickening life into your mortal lives. See, your mortal bodies. Praise God. I'm talking, let's see, and yet dead in sin and trespass, there's some way God had to get this quickening life into your mortal bodies. Now, I'm talking about your body, see? Now, Jesus was the Word, is that right?
Amen.
Who was the Father? The Spirit. And Jesus was the Word. Amen. And the Spirit kept quickening the Word. Yes, the Spirit kept quickening the Word. It kept quickening the Word.
Amen.
What's it do to you? It quickens it. It's the Spirit. No matter, you're a thought. You're an attribute of God. See? And when the Spirit quickens that attribute in you, it brings forth the manifestation, the expression of God. It's that same life. If the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's going to do the same thing. It's going to live the same life. It's going to have the same nature. It's not going to be a different nature, not going to be a different life, not going to be a different anything. It's going to be the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen.
Paragraph 53. See, the wheat alone is just a wheat. But when that quickening life gets into it, into the wheat, then it gives it life, see? That's where you can have seed. You can lay that seed out there. It can sit there in your store, in your wherever you put it. It can just sit there. As they said, they found seed from Joseph's barns that he built in Egypt thousands of years ago. And those seeds laid there all of that time. Just as you put it on the shelf, it's going to lay there and do nothing. But when you put it in the condition,
Amen.
And the Spirit, the life, God quickens that thing. The Son quickens that thing. It's going to bring forth that germ that's on the inside. It won't bring forth a different germ. It don't matter if it sits there 100 years or a million years. That will never change. That germ, that gene will never change to something different. Whatever it is, it's sealed there. It's sealed like that. Now, Jesus was the Word. You believe that, don't you? Congregation says amen. In the beginning, St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. The Word lived in flesh. The Word manifested in flesh. 55. Now, as the promised Messiah, He quickened every word that was prophesied that He would do. He healed the sick, and how He would be born a virgin. Huh? That word was quickened. That word had laid there for 800 years. And all of a sudden, the right little woman came on the scene. It was time that seed dropped down into that heart, and it began to bring forth the promise. It was quickened. It was quickened to life. But the word had been spoken for 800 years. Brother Ram said it was just a word. It was just a word. And it just stayed. It was just a word. Just like us making some statement. But if God quickens that statement and brings it to life and brings it to manifestation,
Amen.
That's the difference.
Yes.
See, it's true. He was the Word manifested here on earth. But He could not do this just as a man. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in Him to quicken these promises to Him. I hope that we get this real clear now. Jesus being a man, Himself, the body. But it took the Spirit in Him, the Spirit. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works, not the man. The man is confessing, I can't do it. Just the same as we're confessing, every one of us. We're confessing, I can't do it.
Amen.
We don't know what to do. But as He shows you, as He reveals to you, you're living that life. You're living out that attribute. It's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works. See, Jesus Himself was the Word.
Amen.
Because He was, see, and He stops there. In the message called Oneness, this going back, 1962. Brother Ram said a lot of things in this message. It's really quite a message. Now the Spirit of God in the Word makes the Word live itself, act itself out. It brings the Word to life like a seed. That's exactly what it's done in every one of us, every gene seed of God since the beginning of time. It is the Spirit that quickens the promise for the age and brings it to life and brings it to manifestation. 19. If you'll notice how that Eve was united with Adam, she become part of him. Did you notice in Genesis 1:27, he created man male and female. He created them. See? Now the man, both male and female, when it come to being a spirit of feminine and masculine, God took from his side a rib. Did you notice the body part was a byproduct, but not the spirit? The body part was a byproduct, but not the spirit. Now, think about us. The body part is the creation. The body part is the byproduct. Amen. But the spirit, the life, is not. That gene of God, it is off of the original. Yes. Just as Eve's spirit was part of her husband, so is that with Christ. You're part of that original of him, Amen. Of himself.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Just let him get it here. Did you notice the body part was a byproduct, but not the spirit? The body part of the woman was a byproduct after the creation had been finished. God took the side of Adam, a rib, and made a woman, but not the spirit. The spirit was part of Adam, for he was both man and woman, spiritually speaking, both masculine and feminine. That's right. Now, don't you see the great picture? We in flesh are different. We're like a byproduct, a created being by holy wedlock. But in spirit, we are sons and daughters, not some other spirit, but the spirit of the living God. Huh? Not some other spirit, but the spirit of the living God is in you. We are in his likeness, in his unity, in the perfect image of the living God, because we become sons and daughters of God. Not separated, but the same spirit. See, the same God, the same person, joined in wedlock to the eternal. Praise God.
Amen.
And when it manifests itself, when it's quickened, when that quickening power comes on you, it's going to produce the same life.
Yes, sir.
Not going to be a different life.
That's right.
It's going to be him, himself. Every time. You'll lose your temper. You'll lose your lying. You'll lose your stealing.
Amen.
You'll lose your love for the world.
Yeah.
You'll lose it.
Yes, sir.
You'll have one desire. It'll be for him.
Amen.
And if it's anything else, if it manifests anything else, then that quickening power hasn't took a hold yet.
That's right.
It's going to lose the love of the world. It's going to do it. It don't mean you're not going to be in a battle. It don't mean you're not going to, Satan's going to stop talking to you. It don't mean Satan's going to stop fighting you. No, that's going to continue right on. The only difference is it's going to bring you up here in the revelation where you can tell Satan where to go. Before that quickening power, you didn't know the difference. But now you know the difference. Now you know that you're a son of God. Now you know that you're a daughter of God. Now you know that you can't be deceived. Now you know the word.
Amen.
You know it. And that word's been quickened. And when it's quickened, then it begins to live out Jesus Christ in your flesh.
Amen.
See, we're in his likeness, in his unity, in the perfect image of the living God, because we become sons and daughters. Not separated, but the same spirit, the same God, the same person, joined in wedlock to the eternal. See how God planned it? That we should not be different, but him. Not be different, but it be him. Not a different spirit, but him himself. Not some other being of some other tribe, but a real union, an offspring of the Almighty, done by a holy union. Now the body comes from the mother and father, but the spirit come from God. God separating himself as he did, as Adam was separated. That's right. And Brother Branham talked about the blood coming from the Father. That's the lifeline. That's who it comes from. It comes from the Father. See? We're a byproduct by the same Spirit. 21. On the day of Pentecost, we find the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, separating itself, setting upon each member of that church. God putting himself together, then that group of people together, what does it do? Brings back the unified body of the Lord Jesus coming together. Praise God. Amen. We thank God. All right, this is in a message called Life. This is in 1957. And paragraph 22. Now let's close our eyes to our imaginations for a few moments and go way back before there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity was that spirit of love and joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness in its perfection. Brother Branham talked about this so many different ways, but always saying basically the same thing. Then out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, see, which was the theophany, which was the body of the great Jehovah God, went forth in this celestial body. So in the beginning was the Word. There was nothing but Elohim, the eternal Spirit. And then out of him come the Logos. Out of him, he began to create a way to be seen, a way to make himself known. The random said the first was that pillar of fire, that light, that anointing came out of him. See, the Logos. And there was the theophany, which was God made into word. There was the theophany, God made into word. Then that theophany was made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, billions of years later. And then all the fullness of the Trinity dwelt in him. Both the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of that, see? And that's the very way we go, plumb back to the original beginning of God. There we are born again, not of flesh, born again, not of blood, but born again by the Spirit. Huh? By the Spirit. That same Spirit. And in that eternal Spirit of love and honesty comes down to make its place in us. And if that eternal Spirit is love and honesty and purity, then that's exactly what it's going to manifest. Amen. It's not going to manifest something different in you. It's going to manifest the same thing. It's going to be honesty. It's going to be purity. It's going to be all of those things manifesting in you, that same life. And then when we die from this life, we go into the body, which if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have a theophany to go into, see, a body celestial. Then at the coming of the Lord Jesus, this body is picked up from the earth again and made in a glorified state to live in his presence forever. Then all the perversion, all the things, all the perversion, all goes out of existence. The flesh goes to its punishment. Hell opens up her mouth, swallows up all the evil, the perversions. And God and his beloved church, his bride, takes their stand for the eternities to roll on. That's the great hope of the Christian church. Amen. And that's the promise. And that's what it'll be. Exactly. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, he says some things here. I believe that that is the truth. That at the judgment day, that God will see that is the truth. God will stand behind what he says to be truth. Don't you believe it? All right. And now let's just wonder what type of person Jesus was. Now, I know we have some theological ideas and some painters that's painted pictures. But let's not look at him in the picture form tonight. Because we might not know, see? But let's look at him in his life, his spirit. So Jesus, when he comes back to earth again, in his body form, it'll be way too late then for us to think anything about it. You believe that? You're going with him then, those that are ready. Now, he's challenging in us to look at him, to see him, to recognize him. And he's saying, we've been given a lot of ideas. We've been given a lot of options on how to see him. And even with pictures. And he said, let's not go like that. He said, because you might get it wrong. The theologians might get it wrong. They say he's going to look like this, going to look like that, like Brother Branham said they did about Eve. He said he's seen a picture one time of an artist rendering of Eve and said she just looked like some ugliest thing you ever seen. Brother Branham said, I don't believe that for 1 minute. Said she was the most beautiful woman that ever lived on the earth. She was perfect. She was come right from God, right from her husband, out of her husband. God formed that body and made her perfect in every way. She was a beautiful woman. Man's depiction is just messed up. And so is what the theologians say. And so is it what they do. Now, he talked about a picture. We have a picture. We have a picture. And that picture, Brother Branham said, looked so close to what he looked like when he seen him. And he said, ever since he's seen that picture, Hoffman's Head of Christ at 33, he said it looked just like him. And that picture was inspired. And Hoffman, his life of paintings, he painted many. And I don't know what he did outside of the religious realm or Christ, but many stages of Christ's life, those were the pictures that he painted. And about Christ himself. And so that one was Christ at 33. And that picture was painted in 1888. And so long before the prophet come along. But in time for the prophet to come along and see it and tell us, that's what he looked like. That's the closest thing that he looked, that he could see. And God give us so much in this day. He give us so much in this day that it just we're so blessed. So now when you see him in a body form, no matter whether he's a white man, a yellow man, a black man, a brown man, whatever he's in, he's my Savior. Amen. Now, and this is another argument. What color is God? You find Christianity. You'll find a lot of people in the world, and a lot of people of color in these last days that call Christianity a white man's religion. It's not a white man's religion. Sorry. It's the Creator of heaven and earth.
Yes, sir.
I heard a preacher one time say that God was white. Because white was a pure color. It was a pure. And I thought, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. God is a God of variety.
Amen.
God is a God of variety. And God made white man, black man, yellow man, red man, every color. Yep. God made that.
Yep.
Because God wanted that. Because God's pleased with that.
Amen.
God's pleased with that. And so I was reading the other day, and actually I think it was left over from Wednesday night. We didn't read it. When Brother Branham was talking about the angel of the Lord, and somebody seen him and was describing to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said he was dark-skinned. You ever read that? He said the angel of the Lord was dark-skinned. It takes away your idea, don't it? You... I mean, and every, I don't know, I think in the carnal, everyone wants him to be their color. But don't have anything to do with it. It don't have anything to do with it. God made us one in him. And Whatever that is 100% in his hands. And it's 100% not going to be like people think.
That's right.
You can be sure. Let's read it. Okay. But what he was, it isn't so much as the flesh, but the flesh was wonderful. It was virgin born. You believe that? I believe that Almighty God overshadowed the Virgin Mary and created a blood cell in the womb of Mary. The germ of life to the child comes from the male sex. We know that, don't we? It's like a hen can lay an egg. But if she hasn't been with the male bird, it's not fertile. It won't hatch. The germ of life comes from the male. So the germ of life, in this case, comes from Jehovah God. You listening? The germ of life comes from Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, the great creator. You believe that? He created in the womb of this little virgin girl a blood cell that developed into the Son of the living God. How was it his Son? He's a spirit. Huh? He created some flesh. And by creating that flesh, he called it his Son.
Amen.
And now that Son is the body that he himself
yes.
is now going to come down and incarnate himself
yes,
in.
Yes, sir.
Not a different person.
Amen.
The same person. The same spirit. See? He was neither Jew, neither was he a Gentile. He was God. See? Did you ever think about that? A baby hasn't got one drop of the mother's blood in it. Did you know that? No, sir. The baby does not have any bit of its mother's blood. It has its father's blood. It's not its mother's. See? A mother can be dying with TB and the baby can be taken from the mother and it have to be contracted, you see? Anything that's in the bloodstream. Because the blood comes from the male. And Jesus was the blood of God. If his blood was earthly, then it was no more than mine or yours. It came through a sexual desire, see? But his blood was the blood of his father's, which is the great creator. See? Now, and you can go off on that, and people do. They come with that idea that this was a supernatural blood. No, the creation was supernatural.
Amen.
It was supernaturally created blood, but it was blood. It was still blood and it was flesh. It had to be so it could die.
Amen.
If it was a supernatural being, then he couldn't have died. If it was supernatural blood, it couldn't have bled. It couldn't have died in that manner.
Right.
That's the reason he made the body. So that God could come down in that body and he could die.
Amen.
But in the revelation, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting in the revelation that Brother Branham said that he received the Holy Ghost at the River Jordan. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now here was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. He was the Word. And yet he received the Holy Ghost. And then the prophet revealed to us that the Spirit left him.
Yes, sir.
And he went to Calvary as a man.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't go there as God. He had to go there as a man.
Amen.
Something, isn't it? The theologians can't touch that. They can't touch it. No, it's a revelation. Jesus was the blood of God. If his blood was earthly, then it was no more than mine or yours. It come through sexual desire. See? But his blood was the blood of his Father, which is the great creator, Jehovah. Some fellow told me some time ago, said, Brother Branham, said, you don't really believe that is true, do you? It was a rancher I hunt with. See? A whole lot out in Colorado. I said, yes, sir. I just met him. And he said, he argued with me for about 2 hours. He said, you know that's wrong. I said, no, sir, I don't. I know it's right. And he said, look, it's against, listen to this now, it's against all scientific research. There's your problem right there. Remember I said the other night that the bride is more intelligent than the scientist.
Yes,
oh, they have their book smarts. Well, you can't touch them in their book smarts. But by revelation, you know more than they know.
Yes,
He just gave me something to prove that. See? I'm sorry, I keep losing my place. He said, there's nothing. See? Nothing without the pollen, like that, see? Even corn has to pull from the tassel and so forth, see? Everything is against scientific. In other words, it's got to pollinate. And that's his point, which is a true point. Everything has to be pollinated. The only difference is God put both the egg and the seed there. Now watch. I said, I don't care. I said, I've been in these museums like you got here in Chicago, and I think it's ridiculous. Are you listening? You go down there and say 225,000 years ago, there wasn't a man on earth till 6,000 years ago. He's saying, I went to your museums, and your museums is telling me, you're showing me the caveman back there, 225,000 years ago, you're telling me what this man did and what that man did and how they were doing this and doing that and all your dinosaurs and all this other stuff. This is exactly. There wasn't a man on the earth till 6,000 years ago. So if you was wondering about it, he just confirmed it for you.
That's right.
See? And all that there caveman stuff, that's just something got up in somebody's head. That's your scientist. And I'm going to tell you a bunch of that stuff. They know that they're making it up. They know that they're lying. And they know that the only way they continue to get their funding is if they come up with more stuff like that. They come up with stuff instead of just being honest. And saying, we don't know, or just say what they do know and leave off what they don't know.
Amen.
They don't do that.
Right.
That's not how the funding works. That's not how the money comes in. The money comes in by saying, look what we've found. Look what we've discovered. And now we think this is going to be this and this and this. And said, we just need more money. And we give them some more money and say, oh, yeah, look here. Look what we've discovered here now. It's this and this and this. And they give us all these great dinosaurs. I'm not saying there wasn't dinosaurs. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you can't find one bone. When you come with one bone and you create this dinosaur that's got wings and this long neck and it's up two stories high, and you created all that off of one bone. They've done. That's what they do. They might have another one. They might have three bones. And they create this other dinosaur. And this guy is in complete detail. And you see him in the museum and he's got every bone. I'm not saying there's no dinosaurs. I'm just telling you, a lot of this scientific stuff is the creation of their minds. Stuff that they're coming up with. And there was no man on the earth until 6,000 years ago. It wasn't there 200,000 years ago. They weren't here a million years ago. That's all man's idea. See, there's not a, that's just something come off somebody's head somewhere. See, there's not a bit of scripture for it. See, and man never come from no serpent. It didn't come from no monkey. No. See, or nothing. He come from God. Huh? No matter what color he is, all man came from God.
That's right.
All the rest of that stuff come from some man's head. It's a lie. Is something he came up with. It's something from his prejudice. Something from his ego. Something from his intellect.
Amen.
It's a lie.
Yes,
that's right, see? So that's just radical. It's a good thing you can have up here. He said, oh, he said, you can have that up here. He said, but down where the southern line is, he said, we don't have it down there. We don't permit it. And I wish it was still that way. But that's the truth. Up there in all of that modernization and all that money and all of that intellect. And they've all, the North always claimed they're smarter than the South. And maybe they are. But when it comes to the revelation, the bride has the revelation. That's right. And you, I find it, I don't know what it is, but I find it even in some other countries, the Southern people are the farmers. And that's how it is here. The southern people are the farmers. They're the simple people. And the farmers believe, simply believe, the word as God presents it. And then when you get into the intellect, then they go off into this other stuff. And it's just a figment of their mind and their imagination, the things that they come up with. All right. The darkest hour, Jesus comes. Paragraph 25. This is 1955. See, this woman now, what did she do? What was it she did? She pulled from Jesus. That's the reason he got weak. She pulled from him virtue through that human body of his. Because he was just a man born of a woman. But his father was God. But in his body, he was a man. In this flesh, he was just a man. See? In his spirit, he was God. So God was in Christ. And the woman pulling that virtue, believing it through him, then he turned and by her faith in him, pulled that virtue from him till he looked around and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" All of them denied. Said, "Nobody, nobody." Peter said, "Everyone." He said, "But I got weak." He felt the touch. Total deliverance. Jesus was completely, totally man. What was he? Man. He was just a man. And I can give you more quotes. It says he was 100% God. He was totally God. That's right. And he was totally a man. God was in him. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. How about that? You see, he was tempted in all manners like we are. He was a man, not an angel above temptation. See, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 4 said he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man. That God took a complete man to bring total deliverance. And he filled him with the spirit. And the Holy Ghost was in him without measure. And he was tempted like we were. And he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead. When he stopped nature, the roaring seas, the mighty winds. And when he spoke to the trees and so forth, they obeyed him. He was God on the inside. And he could have been man. See, and he could have been man, for he was man. But he totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he is our example. Amen. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. That's exactly where our life should be. That should be our desire, is full surrender to him in all things. This is the last quote. It's not my last quote, but it's I'm going to read a few things that I didn't read on Wednesday night that I wanted to read. And so for this morning, this is blasphemous names. God's life is also then in you. Jesus said, "I'm the vine and you are the branch." Now look, what was their fuss with Jesus? Their fuss with Jesus because he was a man making himself God. They knew he was a man. They knew he was flesh and blood. See? He was God. God was in Christ. See? And he told them. He said, "Don't look at me. It's not me. It's my Father. And he dwells in me." And they was looking at that little body that was born of Mary, see? That wasn't God. Huh? That body that was born of Mary, that wasn't God. See, that was the Son of God. But God was in that body. It was God. Isn't that something? It just messes the intellect all up, don't it? And it just messes up our carnal thinking. It messes all of that up. But it's in simplicity. And he told him, he said, "If I don't do the works of my Father, don't believe me." He said, "But you just look and watch and see if everything I did is exactly what he said I would do." He could go back through the whole Bible and bring out everything God said, every prophet said that he was going to do. He fulfilled it perfectly. And you go back and look through the scripture. And you're going to see what God said the bride's going to do. And she's fulfilling it. She's fulfilling it right now in her life. Every day, she's fulfilling what he said she would do. I'm going to stop here. Now, I just had a few quotes. I wanted to share these on Wednesday night. And they related to the things that we were bringing. But they also brought a few other things. And they were... let me just read them. This first one is in Led by the Spirit. These are older messages, and this is the gift of God operating in the prophet, and of what was, we talk about a lot of times, the bait on the hook. There was the healing and the miracles and those things. But Brother Branham talks about, I've always been interested when he's talking about the angel of the Lord, and when he's talking about him being on the platform, and you listen sometimes in the earlier message, and he's talking, he said, now you wonder what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. And so, some the people that are skeptical, they're just skeptical, and they're thinking, okay, well, he's just trying to work something up or make the people think that, you know, there's really a person there. And come to find out, there really was a person there. There really was the angel of the Lord. And one of these places here, he's going to say, I know he's here because he's passed by, or I felt him two or three times. And so he knew he was there. He always knew when he was there. And many times he told the people, said, now he's here. And he always brought the people up because he wanted those people to be conscious of the presence of the angel. And one of the things that was always striking to me is Brother Branham never asked him his name. And Brother Branham never knew his name. But when the people tried to say, no, that's not an angel, Brother Branham, that's God himself, Brother Branham said, no, that was the angel of the Lord. He straightened that out. And so that kind of kills people's ideas that don't understand what happened after the seals, that when the seals was opened, then he came. They tried to make it that he was already here. Well, you can say that. He's already here. He was always already here. He never left. He's been here since the beginning of time. But the way that he came in this day, in his fullness, that didn't happen till the seals opened.
That's right.
But was he here? Sure, he was here. He's always here. He's always here. He's never... And so, it's like people saying, well, the Holy Ghost didn't come until Pentecost. That's true. That's when the Holy Ghost came. But the Holy Ghost was always here. It was the Holy Ghost back there. The Holy Ghost with John. It was the Holy Ghost back there. It was always. And so, Brother Branham said there's only three comings. Okay? It's revelation. It's God revealing to you when he's doing something. But he's always coming. He's always here. Paragraph 35. Good evening. Just for a moment now till I kind of get myself settled down to talk to you. Just a moment. You're a stranger to me. I'm a stranger to you. And this is in the prayer line. People before him, and he's talking to them. And I guess you've never seen me before. You look healthy and strong, but there's something wrong with you, or you wouldn't be here. And let's just have your hand just a minute. See, Can't find it, sir. No. So I want to talk to you just a moment. So he had a gift in his hand that if you had any disease, he could tell you what it was. So he would take your hand in his hand, and then he could tell you. And so he took his hand and it didn't reveal nothing. He couldn't look at him, couldn't reveal nothing. So now the next step is to contact his spirit. And so to contact his spirit, he's going to talk to him. He's going to talk to him. And those two spirits are going to communicate. And he's going to find out what's wrong with him. See, I can't find it, sir. So I want to talk to you just a moment. You believe God. Yes, you believe God. You believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that the spirit that was in Christ returned back to the earth in the form of the Holy Spirit to live in the church today. And 9 spiritual gifts given to the church. And now you being a stranger to me, knowing nothing of you, then if I ever know what's wrong with you, it would have to be revealed by a spiritual being at that time. That's how it would be done. And that's how it was done. There was a spiritual being right there. And it was revealing it. So there was a person there with him, really. Now, you're worried, aren't you? You've been fainting a lot, sister. Now, I'm not reading your mind. Now, this is a different person here. I just wanted to bring that point out because we're talking about this angel of the Lord. You're worried, aren't you? You've been fainting a whole lot, sister. And now, I'm not reading your mind. And now, sometimes, he's telling them what they're thinking. As he starts talking to them, they start thinking, okay, this is telepathy, this is this, this is this. And he's telling them, no, it's not that. And then they know that he's telling them their thoughts. Now, just now, so the audience will know, a real strange feeling just begun coming on you. If that's right, raise your hand. See? Now, that's when your spirit would contact. That's where the contact is being made now, because he's come. Now, this feels to me, I'm getting weak, see, just before vision probably is fixing to take place. I don't know. Yes, you're worried. You've been told that you have a cancer. Is that right? Just be reverent. Don't fear, sister. Believe, see. Let's see. Now, be reverent. Now, of course, you feel real numb. He's telling her how she feels. See, I just meant it broke. You keep looking at me, see? All right, a doctor never told you that. A man told you you had cancer. You was in a prayer line. She wasn't at the doctor. She was at church in a prayer line, and a preacher told her she had cancer. Now, let's see if this preacher had Thus Saith the Lord, or this preacher was talking from here. He said, you was in the prayer line, and after that, you visited a doctor's office, and he told you you didn't have cancer. See? I see him saying something, kind of a normal-dressed man wearing a dark-looking suit. Now, your trouble's in your throat, isn't it? That's right, in your throat. It's nervousness, sister. It's what's wrong with you. Just nerves in your throat. And you're going to be all right. Jesus Christ, you have faith now, don't you? Father, your daughter stands here, worried and worked up. She feels that she did something wrong just now. God, console your child. I lay hands upon her in the name of Jesus, thy son, and ask for this nervous, chafing sensation in her throat to leave her. She can return to her loved ones healthy and well just now. Satan, leave the girl in the name of Jesus Christ. Now look, sister, you may raise your head now. Now, sister, is that the truth? Every word. The sister speaks to him, saying, Brother Branham said, you go home now and believe. Do as I tell you to do. Just forget about all of it. See, go home and eat and drink and rejoice and praise the Lord. Tell everybody about your healing and glorify God. See, just do what I told you to do. Don't listen to the lie that Satan's going to tell you. You have stood in the presence of God. You've felt God. You've heard from God. Your heart's been revealed. Now just go do what I told you and settle it right there. Settle it right there. This is in a message called the Angel of God. And paragraph 9. Now I'm going to drop down a little bit where he's saying, Father, I pray that you'll move. I pray that tonight that the angel of God will stand here at this pulpit, and may there not be one pass by this pulpit but what's healed. Hear my prayer, Father, as I cry to you with a sincere heart, knowing that I'm trying with my whole heart to serve you the best that I know how. And I pray that you'll hear me tonight. Bless Brother Garcia. Now, then, if you read the next paragraph, you'll find that this tape it's broken, 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 broken. It just keeps going off. So when you go into paragraph 10, I don't think it's the same person as the last sentence of the previous paragraph. In those days, it was before magnetic tapes. They were on reels, and the recording was on a wire. It was actually a wire reel. And that they were very staticky, broke up, and that was very poor quality. They've improved a lot of them. They've brought them up, and but they couldn't, the words that are missing, they couldn't bring the words back. So that's what's happening here. And I think the recordings began in 47, if I'm not mistaken. And this is 1948. So those, I think in the 40s, I don't know when the magnetic tape came, or the magnetic reels before cassettes, it was still a reel, but it was on tape. Before that was wire. So paragraph 10. Now, so we're missing the first part of what happens here. Her eyes, she seemed to go into a trance. And I passed on her, of course, and then I left and was gone. And I come back in a few days, and her husband was at the door, and he said, "Brother Branham, something's happened to my wife. She talks like she's delirious." Now, this woman came to the prayer line, and now she's went home, and now this is a few days later, and the husband has come to Brother Branham because something's going on with his wife. And I said, "Well, what seems to be wrong?" And he said, "Well, here's what it is." He said, "When you was praying for her, she seemed like she was in a trance until we got home. And she asked me, who was that other man that came down there with you when you prayed for her?" Now, as the story develops, you're going to find out that she was on a stretcher. So Brother Branham was on the platform. So he comes down off the platform and comes down to where she's at, and he's kneeling down. And so there's another man that was looking down on him while this is going on. And she asked me, "Who was that other man that come down there when you prayed for her?" And I said, "There was no other man." And said, "Oh, yes, a man with a white robe on and dark hair." And I said, "Say that again, brother." And he said it again. And I said, "That's the angel of the Lord that appeared." See, now she's seen him. What did he do? He changed her seeing. He's there all the time, but now he's changing her seeing so she can see him. And she's looking right into that realm, right into that other realm, as Brother Branham talked about in Unveiling of God. So they're there all the time. It's right here in the room right now, colors and people and voices. He says, he just lets you look, channels it in where you can see what it is. And God let this woman see the angel of the Lord standing there over the prophet. I said, "That was the angel of the Lord that appeared, see?" And she said, "Well, he was looking down upon Brother Branham when he was praying, see? And he said, he talked to me." Now, the angel of the Lord talked to this woman. Our Brother Branham's talking to her, praying for her. But said, he talked to me, and he said, "Now you're looking for healing." And said, "Brother Branham's prayer will be answered, and you'll be healed." But said, "Doesn't Brother Branham look awfully frail?" This is the angel of God talking to this woman and saying, "Don't worry, honey, you're going to be healed. But doesn't Brother Branham look frail to you?" Isn't that something? And I read this the other day, and I thought, Brother Branham said, every one of you has an angel. And every one of you that talk, and I told my wife, speaking of that, in the presence of God, every one of you, and if you think God isn't encamped about his people, God is protecting his people. God is watching over his people in every way. Not just this woman, she's going to get her healing, but his prophet here, showing that concern. And God speaks of it over and over and over. And he'll say, the scripture will say things sometime like that, "I'm going down to see if this is really true or not." He already knows it's true. He's going down to check something out. He already knows. He's telling us that he cares. He's telling us that he's watching. He's telling us that he's close. He's telling us that he's there in every situation. No matter what it is, he's there. It just strikes me. Telling her, you're looking for healing. Brother Branham's prayer will be answered and you'll be healed. But said, doesn't Brother Branham look awfully frail? But said, but he'll be strong after a while. That's a promise. And so Brother Branham said, that give me encouragement. See, he'll be strong after a while. Now, the angel didn't tell Brother Branham. The angel told the woman. And now because the woman's come back now, Brother Branham is finding out what the angel said. Yep. So he's let that happen for her, at the same time bringing it back to the prophet. Amen. And all of it together for us.
Yes, sir.
All of it together for us.
Amen.
This conversation's happening so that we can know these things. So in 11 he said, now the woman never heard the story. She described and said, he was a large man, brown, dark face. What color was the angel of the Lord? Brown, dark face. Huh? With black hair hanging down near his shoulders. She said, I seen him come down off the pulpit. And she had never heard of it in her life. In other words, Brother Branham had described the angel of the Lord before, told people about it, so what he looked like and all of those things. But she had never heard it. But now she experienced it personally to not only see him, but to talk to him. He talked to her. See, she said, black hair hanging down to his shoulder. She said, I seen him come down off the pulpit. And she had never heard of it in her life. And said, when Brother Branham knelt down to pray for me, then this man looked and come up there. And instead of praying, he just kept looking at Brother Branham and said, he looked around at me and said, now you come from healing and you'll be healed. And then he said, doesn't Brother Branham look awful thin? But he'll be strong after a while. And then they started moving the stretcher away. They'd taken her out. They're moving them out so others can come. And he walked right on out the door with me. And that's the last I seen of him. Praise be to God. Brother Branham said, now that's the angel of God. He's been seen many times in the services. And I know that he's here tonight. I know that he's here. I've felt him 3 or 4 times since I've been here. Now, someone might know, many people misunderstand. This is in no means, friends, an angel worship. It is not. I do not pray in the name of the angel or even know his name. That's something. All the conversations they've had, all the things that he's been told, all the things revealed. He's asked many questions and been answered. Never asked his name. But if you'll check the scriptures, when God sends his people, it's an angel that directs them. See? You say, well, how about the New Testament? Certainly. It was the angel of the Lord. That's right. Peter, when he was in the prison, the angel of the Lord come down. Is that right? And delivered him. Remember that? The doors opened up. The chains fell off. All the things that took place. That's right. Dropping down. I have put that scripture in there again. How about Paul when he come over in Macedonia? And when he was on the shipwreck and the angel of the Lord appeared to him that night and told him, he had given them all into his hands. Certainly. Paul never worshipped the angel. John the Revelator. After the whole book of Revelation was written, John said he fell at the feet of the angel. Is that right? That showed me these things. And he said, worship God. He was of his fellow servant, one of the prophets. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
No angel worship. No. Worship God. God always sends down the supernatural upon the natural, like the brazen serpent, like the pool, so forth. Even Jesus himself, he never took credit for healing anybody. Huh? Why? Because it wasn't him. It wasn't the man. It was the God that was in the man. It was the Father that was doing it. See? He said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. That's right. See, the doctors knew he was dead. I went to offer sympathy to the family. This is another story here. And I'm going to kind of start off in the middle of it. And starting, I went to offer sympathy to the family. And starting out of the house, the wife seemingly crying of the man. And as I started out the door, a human hand seemingly touched me by the arm. And I felt it hold me. As I started forward, I couldn't move. And when I turned back, the hand left me. And I went to the bedside, and I looked down upon the man. And there was a Methodist minister's wife in the room, and another sister. And I started to have prayer. Now, he doesn't say anything was said to him. The only thing he said was he was trying to leave. And a hand was on his shoulder and wouldn't let him leave. So he knew he wasn't done. So he went back, and he stood over the bed, and he began to pray. And I started to have prayer, and when I come to myself, now isn't that exactly what Peter said? Mm-hmm. When he came to himself? When he came to himself. Brother, sister, we need this relationship. I'm not talking about a gift that the prophet has. There's only one gift to the age. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about that relationship with Jesus Christ. It needs to be so close. It needs to be so one that he can speak to your heart anytime he wants. And it doesn't have to be a hand. He can just impress you to turn you this way or turn you that way. Brother, this thing has been real all the way through the Bible. Amen. And it's told us that this is the greatest time. And if it's the greatest time, then it's going to be God manifesting himself in his people.
That's right.
And it's going to be God, not with the show and stuff that they put on out here in the churches today. It's not going to be all that worked up and make a bunch of noise and pretend something is that isn't really.
That's right.
It's going to be something real.
Amen.
It's going to be a life that's being lived. And it's going to be you and Christ so one that he can do anything he wants, anytime he wants.
Amen.
It's being yielded. It's a oneness. It's a oneness. And that you can have, you'll be able to say, as they've said through the scripture, when I came to myself, this is what happened. This is what he did. Not you. No, you can't do it. He's not letting man have any part of this. Just the vessel that's yielded to him.
That's right.
Just the vessel. Excuse me. Said, I went to the bedside and I looked down on the man, and there was a Methodist minister's wife in the room and another sister, and I started to have prayer. And when I come to myself, I was laying on the man's body. The dead man had a sheet over his face for at least half of an hour. This man's been dead for at least a half hour. Sheet over his face. The prophet's praying. When he comes to himself, he's on top of the man. Face to face. Praying for the man. My face was laying right against him. And I was calling out into the spirit land. Brother Elijah. His name was Elijah. And I, Brother Elijah, calling out into the land for his spirit. Not knowing what I was doing. And in a few moments, I laid still, calling, and I felt the man's hand coming up around my ears. The man was working. The man is working on the Pennsylvania Railroad tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Alive. You believe God can still raise the dead?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He can raise the dead.
Amen.
Can he heal the sick? He can heal the sick. He can do it. Greater than that, he can take this revelation that's living in you.
Amen.
And let another seed see it living.
Yes,
and it quickened their life.
Amen.
It quickened them to the same place, the same expression.
That's right.
That you are. God is the same God.
Amen.
Today, tonight, this morning. Now God knows that's true. If it isn't, then let me pass away from this pulpit right now. But that don't mean that everybody could believe. No, I can do nothing within myself. I have to act as that angel says, act. He don't do anything on his own, but as he's told, that's what he does. See? But what is in need of healing, see? The things that you're seeking after is already in the deposit box of heaven for you. Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, we're healed. Is that right? See, it's already made. It's already done. And how much more today when this revelation is already opened, already full, and God completely unveiled to the bride. Amen. I just thank him. I praise him in all that he's given us and all that he's revealed to us. And I thank God for the souls that he's brought, these sisters that he's brought to be with us. We're looking for these sisters that have just been here a short time, and they've come a long ways in a short time. They're working and really progressing. And I'm thinking of Bosworth and Meta, and just thanking God, amen, to he has a purpose in every single person that's here. I think about Adam. We thank God how that he's blessed him and he's brought him. And Adam has been sharing with us that he's been working on getting a job, and the Lord's helped him and getting his license and the different things, and the Lord's opening doors for him. And so every one of us, in whatever phase, whatever place, we have trials, we have troubles. I look at what Brother Gumbas went through with his hand, and somehow God's helping him. And he lets those things happen for purpose. And we don't always understand it. But the revelation we have is regardless of what happens, we know he's getting something out of it. We know he's doing something. We know there's some glory, there's some honor that God is going to get. And that's our desire. That's our purpose. That's what matters. And so we want to surrender. We just want to surrender. And now I'm really praying for these meetings coming up now. You know, we got three churches coming together. And those three churches used to all be one church. And so the people, we're just brothers and sisters that have been together for many, many years, many years. I was here for almost 40 years. I was right here. And so there's only one thing that matters.
Amen.
And that's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
That's right.
That's all. If he's not expressing himself, then we've got to find that place. There's only one provided place of worship, and that's in him.
Amen.
That's in this revelation.
Yep.
Can't go to no other revelation, no other day. It's got to be right now. It's got to be right now. And what he's given us and what he's spoken. And it was him that spoke it.
That's right.
It was not another. It was not a man. It was God himself that came on the scene in this day and took over that veil of flesh and revealed himself. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand together with us. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come, and he can dismiss us this morning. I really love to sing a song. I don't know if you feel like singing a song. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate you, brother.
But thank you very much. Thank you very much for the service. Thank you very much for everybody. Thank you for Sister Esther. That was good. The girls were very small when I left them in Kenya. I think about 5 years ago when we met. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, like that. But they've grown big. Big girls now. And that's good. We are very happy to see you around here. And most welcome, feel at home. This is our church. And you belong here now. You're one of us. Feel quite at home. You're at home. If you need anything, just let us know. We are here for you, okay? Feel at home. Now, I went to a church. I think I didn't tell you the other day. I went to a church in the at night. I had a church here. There was a brother from Kenya. I'm not from Kenya, but from Africa, from Zimbabwe, preaching. His name was Joseph Chikozi. So, and they told me he's from Kenya. And I said, I'm going to go meet him if he's from Kenya. But I found out he was not from Kenya. People don't know the difference. And people don't know the difference. The thing is, Africa is Africa. I had a talk. Last time I was in Kenya, I had a talk with the vice president, the former vice president of Kenya. I talked to him. And he didn't know the difference. It was very interesting. He didn't know the difference between California and Florida. And I was telling you, that's very confusing. Those countries are very confusing. This is a very different place. That's a different place. And I'm telling the girls, here, everything is different. Brother Don was giving an example the other day of how when I came here. I went to the bathrooms. That was my first, something that shocked me. I went to the bathrooms, and I wanted to flush, and there was nothing to flush. I mean, there was nothing. There's no nothing. And I was, what do I do now? What do I do now? I can't live it like that. And I was going to call my wife. My wife was with other people outside there, and I was going to call my wife and tell me, this is bad. This is bad. Can you come in and help me? And when I woke up and walked in, Friday, and I did that, and I got surprised a bit. This is completely a different world compared to that and different things. But everywhere, you can be a Christian. Everywhere, you can be a Christian there. God has his bride in all nations, in all tongues, even in North Korea, everywhere in the world, God has his bride. And that is what we are. So when you go there, you are the bride. When you come here, you are the bride. Wherever you go, you are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And live that. Live as such. The world can look down on you. Doesn't matter. You know who you are. You are a daughter of the king. You are son of the king. And that's the main thing.
Amen.
So I visited there, and I enjoyed it. And this quote came to my mind. I've been looking for it. I've not gotten it exactly. Where the prophet was saying that this group, I think he was talking about the Seventh-day Adventist people, that they have the word. Of course, that was a long time ago. That is where he went to look for the seeds. That's where the prophet went to look for the seeds.
Yes.
He thought they had the word. And they had something. They didn't look at the Bible very well. And that's all we had that time. So he said, they had the word. And he said, but they don't have the spirit. Then he comes back here and he says, I think he talks about the Pentecostals. These Pentecostals have the spirit, but they don't have the word.
Yeah.
And that looked like, okay, and he says, what about if this comes together with this? What is it? God is word and spirit. God is word and spirit.
Amen.
You can have one and don't have the other. And it's very important to have both.
Praise God.
And I went there in that church and I enjoyed it. Because they're really preaching good. Yeah, preaching good. Preaching with vigor. And I was with my daughter. I told my daughter, but you see what? They are good. We are jumping up. We are singing. We sang. I'm telling you, we sang. Is right? And the guy from Africa was saying, why don't you worship like Africans? It's like Americans don't worship. Why don't you worship like Americans? Why don't you jump? Why don't you worship like that? And that's good. All that is good. All that is good. But all that, as sweet as it was, as good as it was, I told my heart, but this, lacking one thing. They don't know where we are at in this celebration, in this message. Yeah. Brother Don brought it very well, that people talk about where we are. People talk about where we are going. People don't know where we are at here. The sermon was great. The quotes were great. And they were talking about we preparing for his coming. Because he's coming. We are the wise bride. He's coming. We are looking forward to him. Because he will come. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's good. But in scriptures. But it's not. Where are we at? That's the main thing. Where are we at? And we can also, listen, we can also know where we are at. And we have the quotes, and we have quotes, and we have the word, and then we don't have the spirit. We've got to have the spirit of God and And that's where we are. We've got to have the Spirit of God and the Word together. That's God. That's the whole God. Whole God is the Word and Spirit. And we are all supposed to have the Spirit of, have the right Spirit. Have the right Spirit always. Don't look down on people. Don't trust on people. Don't trust on people. Don't do that. Let the Spirit of God be seen in us. A good spirit. Not thrashing people. Not. Praise God. And yet standing straight on the Word.
Amen.
That's praise right. God. Let's pray. Let's pray. It's another time, Lord God, that you've spoken again, as you always do. Whenever we gather, Lord, you have something that you put in our hearts, Father. Some of these things are so heavy, Lord. They're spot on. They're real things. You called it the food in the due season, Lord. They're so enormous in our hearts, Lord, and we're happy. We realize how much you love us. Otherwise, you didn't do the things that you do to us, Lord God. You didn't open the way you opened these things to us. And we know, like the prophet said, that he can do those things. But that does not mean, he said, kill me. In this book, that was the last quote. Kill me if that is not true, exactly what happened. The angel was here and whatever. But Lord, he said, but that does not mean that everyone is going to believe. And Lord, we are here. You brought us to this, Lord. You brought us to this in this road, Lord. We've come here. Where we see it with our own eyes, Lord God. Father, help us to surrender. Help us to give ourselves. Help us to die out ourselves, Lord God. And take it in, Lord God, and be one with it, Lord. Help us take everything away that is not that is not this, Lord God, that you brought, Lord. Take it away. Kill it, Lord God. Let's stand pure, Lord God, and virtuous before your eyes, Lord. Let's serve you, Father, better. Let's be better citizens of the kingdom of God, Lord. We commit ourselves to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.